Hello and welcome to the Damage Report. I am John Arola, and you are going to be so glad that you tuned in today, because after far too long a wait, we are finally joined once again by Ida Rodriguez. How's it going? Welcome back.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much, John. You know, you're one of my favorite people. But and I really appreciate the people who support you. They're so they're just so kind and thoughtful. And I just want to say thank you to all the people who show me love. I'm only focusing on love from this point forward in my life. I don't even acknowledge
it. I like it. I'm not ready to commit to that strategy or like that life. I like it though. I like it. I'd like more of that. But yes, we have an awesome audience. A member, a viewer from the UK sent this care package of like candy and cookies for a whole bunch of different people here. Jess Ortega just sent another diamond art that I showed off on the pre-show. So everyone go to the YouTube channel. The pre-show is available now. You can see me showing it off. It's awesome. But I know you're also not only awesome, but busy. You've got a big show coming up soon. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, I'm coming to the Sacramento Punchline. I'm actually back on tour. So I'll be there March 31st through April 2nd. I will be coming to the Sacramento Punchline. I'm also coming to, I'll be in Ontario, California, San Francisco, Kansas City. So please go to my website, funnyida.com, and get your tickets. I love the TYT people. They show up and they have so much fun with me.
Nice. That's awesome. I love it, by the way. Francesco is just doing some shows over in Brooklyn. Yeah. You're doing basically like the whole West Coast. I like that people have an opportunity all across America to see the awesome people that appear on our network. So very exciting. Everyone definitely check that out. You can check out other stuff here for about 90 minutes. The news is what I'm talking about. News on the future of the Supreme Court, on we've been asking the critics of Biden's approach to Ukraine to say, if you would like it to be done differently, just tell us what you'd like to do. Well, unfortunately, one has finally met that challenge. So we're gonna be breaking down the advice that this individual chooses to give. We've got KKK candidates. We've got people breaking down on planes. We've got Ted Cruz breaking down in an airport. We got all sorts of stuff. So everyone, I'm gonna need you to buckle up as we launch into this. And if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be great so that people know we're live. And if you wanna send us any tweets, comments, super chats, all that, we'll read along as we go. But with all that said, Ida, you ready to talk about some news?
Yeah, and you have to excuse me if I look like an air traffic controller, but I am next to a window that's very noisy. And I wanna spare you. I want to spare you from the noise of the trucks and the people of color getting pulled over constantly by my
house. No problem. Are those the AirPods Max?
Yeah.
Oh, you like them? I've heard good things.
Yeah, they're good. They were a gift and they actually work really well.
Nice, awesome. Oh, well, I've got the little mini ones. I didn't want to look too air traffic controller. But anyway, you know what? We waited long enough. Let's give the director what he clearly wants. Let's jump into this conversation about the SCOTUS.
Your nomination, did you notice that people from the left were pretty much cheering you on?
A lot of people were cheering me on.
That's true.
Yeah, that didn't really go anywhere. It's actually a through line for a lot of Senator Lindsey Graham's questioning of Ketanji Brown Jackson. He had a lot of things he was trying to accomplish, but it all kind of just fell flat. It did, however, along the way, get pretty questionable, pretty cringe. Take a look at this line of questioning.
What faith are you, by the way?
Senator, I am Protestant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Non-denominational.
Okay. Could you fairly judge a Catholic?
Senator, I have a record of judging everyone.
I believe you can. I'm just asking this question because how important is your faith to you?
Senator, personally, my faith is very important. But as you know, there's no religious test in the Constitution under Article 6.
Okay, so a lot of people had a problem with Lindsey Graham. That, by the way, is not the full thing. It's Karen, can you fairly judge a Catholic? On a scale of 1 to 10, how faithful are you? How would you feel if people said that you were too religious? He just went on and on, Ida. And he had sort of a point, he thinks. But what do you think about that sort of line of questioning for Ketanji Brown Jackson?
I mean, if it was applicable to Amy Coney, what's her name? I can't remember.
Amy Coney Barrett.
I forget the handmaid that's on our Supreme Court. But I mean, can she properly judge a Protestant? I mean, because she's an extreme Catholic and she belongs to a sect, a subsect of Catholicism that is pretty extreme. You know what? Like I said, I'm focusing on the love, and I'm also staying away from generalizations because I think that what they do is absolve people of their responsibility. The continuous talk that all white women and all white men are the same is it just keeps the people who are doing bad stuff from being held accountable when we sweep them all into this thing. Let's just be real about this. There are a lot of men who are having a meltdown because women are doing well and succeeding in spite of all of the things that they've had to endure throughout history. Now you add insult to injury and the person is black and these men are having a meltdown that these people that have decided to be excellent. And when I say these people, I'm talking about my people, all of the people who are the descendants of slaves who have, in spite of all of the things that have been thrown our way, and it gets worse as you get darker. So let's just be real about that. And still to be excellent and standing in the presence of all of them who've had all the privilege in the world and have the opportunities to be where they are, the people who have, in spite of everything, arrived at the same place, they're just having a meltdown. And these old school sexist, racist men in our political, you know, orbit and world have caused so much damage. And now this is their last hoorah because they don't even know what to do anymore. Like, his line of questioning is downright stupid. Nobody wants to say it. It's not that it's provocative or it's, you know, or he's really, he really got her. It's just dumb. And it's so on brand with him because there are so many questions that they should be asking her that could be provocative and pertinent. And they are focusing on dumb stuff. Sorry, I'm just.
I actually have compiled a list of a few of those questions, actually, which we're going to turn to in a little bit. But Lindsey Graham is definitely an example of the sort of person that you're talking about who just looks around and doesn't understand the world around him, doesn't like it to the extent that he understands it, and just doesn't know what to do with his remaining years. And the insult to injury was definitely on display. He didn't get her. He would say he wasn't even trying to, because you might have gathered from all those questions, he had no interest in Ketanji Brown Jackson. He kept saying, "I have no doubt that you would be able to judge a Catholic." All of that was building to, and so wasn't it mean when they asked Amy Coney Barrett all these questions? Well, they're different women with different histories. And look, some people might be really magnanimous, like Ida, just focus on the love. And not be worried about that. For some of the senators, though, they felt like, look, asking any religious person whether their particular religious experience makes them incapable of judging a certain sort of person, that's the sort of generalization that I agree with. It doesn't make any sense. But we can find some people whose life experience statements, groups they've been members of, those sorts of things, might raise a little bit of concern. Like, for instance, let's just switch it to another example. I don't think that asking any Supreme Court nominee if they've ever gotten drunk and sexually assaulted someone makes a lot of sense as a generalization. But there are some whose history makes that kind of an important sort of question to ask. So Lindsey Graham is not only disrespecting Ketanji Brown Jackson by making the hearing that will elevate her to the Supreme Court all about his grievances about other people. She doesn't have anything to do with Amy Coney Barrett. She wasn't a part of that or with Kavanaugh.
That's right.
So it's a big waste of time. It's grievance. It's like him just working out that he was mad that the country didn't love their radical nominees that they put on the court a couple years ago.
Yeah, and you know what? They had a godless president. Let's just be real about what has happened in this country. We all have collective trauma for what we've just experienced in the last few years and are still going through at the hands of Donald Trump. You didn't question his religiousness or when he was talking about grabbing women by their part. You didn't question his observing the doctrine of the Lord when he was talking about all of the things that he did that were just unchristian-like. So it's just amazing to me that the people who were running around with their hands in Donald Trump's pocket, sitting or following him around like little puppies and pets now want to be the upstanding religious people upholding the Lord's word when they didn't even care about that for the last few years. Look at the stuff that happened in this country.
Yeah. By the way, the grievances that he's working out, like, let's not forget, Kavanaugh's on the court. Amy Coney Barrett is on. You got your alleged sexual assaulter. You got your alleged religious zealot. It's not even like he's still burned by the fact that they got rejected. They're on there. Like when Roe v. Wade gets overturned in the next year, Amy Coney Barrett's signature is going to be all over that. What are you mad about? It's bad enough that the system is so rigged that people like him, the movement that he's a part of, is just so benefited that it dominates our society, our government, our economy, all of that. But then they whine about their position of dominance. That's insult to injury right there. But we have some additional insult. Let's go into this next video.
I can only wonder, what's your hidden agenda? Is it to let violent criminals, cop killers, and child predators back to the streets? Is it to restrict parental rights and expand government's reach into our schools and our private family decisions? Is it to support the radical left's attempt to pack the Supreme Court? You have praised the 1619 Project, which argues the U.S. is a fundamentally racist country, and you have made clear that you believe judges must consider critical race theory when deciding how to sentence criminal defendants. Is it your personal hidden agenda to incorporate critical race theory into our legal system?
So there's a lot there. One of those questions chosen randomly from Senator Marsha Blackburn's screed there would have been provocative, I guess is the word we're throwing around, offensive, her grandstanding, baseless. These are all things that could be attributed to any one of those individual questions. But to just shotgun them at Ketanji Brown Jackson as if they plucked her out of some Antifa underground cell, rather than she'll be one of the most experienced judges on the court. She's gone through all of the Ivy League schools that they have told us for decades are the prerequisite for these sorts of jobs, Ida. So she's supporting cop killers and pedophiles and critical race theory and whatever other buzzwords the right needs to get people to hate her.
Well, first and foremost, I will continue to say this over and over again because I know that we preach to the choir a lot. So I'm always going to speak to everybody. If you follow these people and don't realize that they are insulting your intelligence, they have discovered what the buzzwords are that emotionally move you and drive you to make decisions that are not in your best interest because all they're doing is lining their own pockets. I want to know, do you want families to make private individual decisions or not? Because when it comes to trans children, you obviously don't want families to make their own decisions. It's only when it comes to the things that are important to you. And the other thing that got, you know what? I'm so tired of this BS. America is inherently racist. It is founded on racism, built on the backs of slaves, immigrants, and people who have been mistreated. And the only people you should be asking if they think America is racist is the people who have been victimized by America, not the ones who have been benefiting from it. So absolutely it is racist. And if she can't say it, I'll say it for her. We all know that it's racist because look at the most profitable business that you ever had that lasted for 400 years was built on the backs of human beings that were kidnapped and brought here and are still being mistreated. So I'm so tired of having this dumb conversation and I'm so tired of hearing it that I know that it doesn't have anything to do with what's real. It is only a talking point to move the people in this country who have low EQs and low IQs as a result of the bad government that we've had because our education systems are so poor. And there are so many people who are buying into these ludicrous talking points. And it is all intentional and it is all to keep everybody down. And we better find solidarity because we're all suffering at the hands of all of these idiots who are in DC, including this idiot who was just talking. And we just don't know So I am telling you people who follow these people, because I know you hate watch this show. Those people are insulting you, and they think you're dumb, and they think you're stupid, and they think you're emotional, and they say critical race theory, and they say Antifa, and they say Black Lives Matter. They've redefined everything to make you feel like you are being victimized when they're the ones victimizing you.
100% right. And about the education system, an education system that they want to make even weaker. They want people to be even more ignorant. They think, they look around America and they say, you know what? Americans learn too much about the history of racism, structural racism. They've learned way too much about that. Let's tamp that down. Let's simplify everything as much as possible. Heads up to the director. I'm going to go to the second graphic. This is how they want their people to think. When Ida says that they're insulting your intelligence, we can prove it with this from the GOP tweeted out. KBJ? No. It's CRT. Just her face and CRT. Why? What's the connection between those two? I mean, God only knows. But we would really find it convenient if you just think CRT when you see Ketanji Brown Jackson.
And I just want to say,
no, sorry, jump in.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I love you. I don't like doing that to you. If it's one of them dummies over there, yeah, but not you. The CRT thing. This is a thing that really makes me laugh, because it's not because they don't want white children to be astonished or feel bad. It's that they don't want to awaken the humanity in little white children when they understand the history and decide that they don't want to repeat it. And that's my theory. Like, they don't want little white kids to be like, oh, this is awful, we're not doing that anymore. Because if you look at this Gen Z generation, white, black, Asian, brown, red, whatever you want to call them alike, they're not having it. They're not buying this stuff anymore. They have made a decision to move forward and to burn it down. And they know that. Because you saw that, what's her name's daughter? I purposely forget these people's names because they don't bring me any joy. What's the lady whose daughter was on TikTok telling about her mom beating her?
Was it Kellyanne Conway?
Yes, Kellyanne Conway,
yeah.
Daughter just was on blast, because even their kids are not, they don't give them a microphone. They don't want them to have a platform. That's why they're so against this CRT. It's not because they want to protect their children. It's because they don't want to awaken the monster that is the reality of them saying, oh, we don't want to do that to people. That's not cool.
Yeah, they're so scared that their kids might find out about stuff that past generations did, that they will do racist stuff right now to enforce it. They don't want to be seen as racist, so they will do racist stuff. So I am so worried about critical race theory that I will sit here, Marsha Blackburn, and ask the first woman who has a shot to be a black female judge on the Supreme Court after hundreds and hundreds of years, you better tell me that America isn't racist. If you want to have any chance, you better say that America is not racist. No structural racism, no bias, no bigotry. You better say it, or all of these white people might not let you on the court. God, they tell you who they are with everything they say and everything that they do. And honestly, as dirty as all of this has been, this isn't even the dirtiest stuff. I'm not playing too much of the actual, like the Josh Hawley stuff, trying to make her out to be a pedophile. I don't even want it for myself right now, but it is out there. It is the dominant attack against Ketanji Brown Jackson, even though it is based on absolutely nothing. And what I do want to play, heads up to the director, I'm gonna jump ahead to the last video in this block. Ellie Missel, who's a friend of the show, was on MSNBC talking about the fact that the Democrats are not doing nearly enough to defend Ketanji Brown Jackson over these accusations. Here's a bit of that.
I don't want to let the Josh Hawley thing lie, because here's where I need the Democrats to step up. Because when they try to smear her, I need the Democrats to get up there and defend her just as vociferously as Lindsey Graham defended alleged attempted rapist Brett Kavanaugh. Like, I need that level of energy from the Democrats, especially when they come at her with this trumped up alleged issues about her sentencing on for sex offenders. Because what Josh Hawley is doing, let's be very clear. What Josh Hawley is doing when he tries to do this is he's trying to get her killed. He is trying to get violence done against a Supreme Court nominee. And we know this because when these people go off making their ridiculous claims about child pornography, we know that there some of their people show up violently to do stuff, as happened to the New Hampshire pizza parlor. And you know how I know that Josh Hawley knows what Pizzagate is all about? Because guess who's the judge who sentenced the Pizzagate guy? Right. Oh, that was Ketanji Brown Jackson. He sentenced the Pizzagate guy to 4 years in prison. His lawyer had asked for 18 months. The prosecutors actually asked for 4.5 years. So she was lenient. She was merciful to the Pizzagate guy. But they're mad at her for that.
I think a great point, Ida. They do need to do better in defending her.
They need to do better in defending the American people. And they need to stop being so spineless and being filled with rhetoric and empty with action. We have had enough with both political parties, all of these fools that are in the Northeastern Hollywood is what we call it. So they need to just all step up. And of course they need to defend her. Just, you know, that we were just talking about this off air. The sexism in this country is on the rise again. Femicide is up. Crimes against women is up. You can't ride the subway. You can't get on a train. You gotta be scared in an Uber. You gotta be scared while you're being questioned to be a Supreme Court judge. It is unbelievable what is happening in this country, and nobody wants to say it. Progressives don't wanna talk about it because we don't wanna be held accountable for the things that we do wrong. And we can't move forward if we can't be honest. It is time for it to, we have to start taking action. Our daughters, our non-binary kids, our sons are always in danger, and we don't ever want to talk about what's happening in this country because we're normalizing foolishness.
Yeah, all that societal stuff is happening. We know that there is increased political intimidation and violence. Yes. That's going to be driving a lot of women out of these sorts of positions. And at the same time, across basically the entire country, the Republicans are stripping away countless rights when it comes in this area. And the Democrats are basically like, I gave a speech once. No, we didn't do anything. We didn't focus on taking back these legislatures. We didn't try to pass any legislation at the national level that would protect women. No executive orders are coming. Best of luck to you if you live in Missouri or Idaho or Texas or Georgia or Louisiana or Florida or any of these other places where they're stripping away your rights.
Yep.
Now, that said, that's just the beginning of the show. We got way more to talk about. So don't go anywhere, everybody. Hit that like button. We're gonna answer some of your questions during this. Okay, everybody, just gonna briefly have a bit of fun and then we gotta jump into something super serious. So let's take a look at this.
But I listened to him constantly using the N-word. That's the N-word. And he's constantly using it, the nuclear word. And we never talk, we say, oh, he's a nuclear power. But we're a greater nuclear power.
So that is the former president talking about Vladimir Putin using the N-word. To mean nuclear, because there's no other way that you could communicate that. That's the only way that you could do it, you massive idiot of a man. But anyway, this is my fault. I'm gonna admit it openly. For a long time, for 3 weeks running now, I've been saying if the right is gonna say that all that Biden is doing to stop Putin from devastating the people of Ukraine isn't enough, well, here's an idea. Tell me what you'd like him to do. What is your solution to the problem? Well, I asked that, and finally, one person, unfortunately Trump, has come up with something. So here is his idea for what he would do if he were still president. We have the greatest submarines in the world, the most powerful machines ever built. You should say, look, you mentioned that word one more time. We're gonna send them over and we'll be coasting back and forth up and down your coast. You can't let this tragedy continue. You can't let these thousands of people die. And there he's referring to the US's fleet of 14 Ohio-class ballistic missile submarines designed specifically for stealth and the precise delivery of nuclear warheads. So his idea is we should take our nuclear weapon equipped submarines and put them right off the coast of Russia and just do laps around his country to intimidate him into pulling out. So it is technically an idea, Ida. Do you like it? How do you rate the former president's idea?
if Sarah Palin is going to assist so they can usher them through Alaska. Because this is
why she can watch them ride by from her house.
Case in point is that, listen, when I talk about the fact that the education system in this country is struggling, politicians, even former presidents, are not exempt from that. This is the severe issue that we're having. And so many of our problems are rooted in the fact that people don't have information, education, are geographically deficient. All of the things that are by design to keep us dumb and down so that they can keep making money off of us and getting richer and richer, and we get poorer and poorer and struggling. This is comedy for me, because it's just, that's who you had at the helm. That's who you had in the driver's seat of this country. And you, and some of you want to bring back, and does, and you don't realize how dangerous it is for your life to have someone like this in charge.
Exactly. No, it's a great reminder, because I know we're not supposed to say this. Everything's already so dark, already so depressing. John, don't depress us anymore. But like, there's a very significant chance he's president again in a couple of years. I'm just saying this based off of what Biden is doing, or you know, more so not doing. So everyone, maybe take this seriously, because he could be president again during a situation like this. And not the smartest guy. Another demonstration of Ida's comments about the education system. As someone in the comments pointed out, it's Donald J. Trump, and the J stands for genius. And so look, we've known this for a long time. I'm gonna throw back to one of my favorite debate answers ever. This is a question back in 2016 where he was asked about the nuclear deterrent forces of the US, and here's what he had to say.
And having some maniac, having some madman go out and get a nuclear weapon. That's, in my opinion, that is the single biggest problem that our country faces.
Of the
right
three
now.
Legs of the triad, though, do you have a priority? Because I want to go to Senator Rubio after
I think,
that. And
I think
him.
To me, nuclear is just the power, the devastation is very important to me.
It's very important to him, which is why he is so cavalier in its use. Not just him, by the way. Just I think last week it was Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, retired now, who suggested again sending our ballistic missile submarines to see whether Putin is really bluffing. See, the fun thing about seeing whether Putin is bluffing about his willingness to use nukes is that if he's not bluffing, he uses nukes, which to me, as a human that lives and wants to continue to, I don't want to test that bluff. That maybe that's just me. Mm-hmm. But by the way, Trump has previously said we should put Chinese flags on our fighter jets to bomb the S out of Russia. Maybe he was joking, maybe he's not. Maybe the whole thing is a big joke, because it would be us dying, not Trump. He's gonna be perfectly
absolutely
fine. Ida, what are we supposed to do?
Listen, we gotta stand up. The thing is that I don't think people realize, and I know many people do, war is so profitable. And so when you hear these people continuously push, and like you said, they're going to be fine. It is us who are going to pay the price. They also make a lot of money. Look what's happening right now. Look, go to the gas station, take a picture of that, tweet it. You know, I'm saying, like, I wish people didn't have a place to go so that we could actually just all just say, we're not going to the gas station and shut them down. Because the reality of it is that war is profitable. It is profitable for the people who make a lot of money, people that we don't come in contact with, that we don't see, who are in that top 1%, who make money off of all of our struggle. Look how profitable COVID has been for, you know, all these companies, making us live in fear continuously, and we try to pay our way through that trauma. And they continue, it is just so profitable. So when you hear this dummy, because I call him Big Dummy, as Fred Sanford would say, Big Dummy talking, you just know that there's a paycheck somewhere in it for him, because that's all he thinks about. He doesn't care about you.
Yeah, look, I agree with a lot of what you said, but I do think, Ida, what you don't get is that you call him Big Dummy. Look, everybody who thinks outside of the box was called a Big Dummy. They're just trying to come up with ideas that we hadn't thought of. For instance, you might recall previous news. At one point during a hurricane briefing in the White House, Trump said, I got it. Why don't we nuke them? They start forming off the coast of Africa. As they're moving across the Atlantic, we drop a bomb inside the eye of the hurricane and it disrupts it. Why can't we do that? A briefer reacted by saying, sir, we'll look into that. He wanted to nuke the hurricane.
The funny thing is that they dignify his statements with a response. Like nobody, the thing is the people, a lot of the people, for those of you who hate watch, a lot of the people who agree with Trump and don't question him or push back is because they're afraid of the consequences in dealing with somebody who has no shame and doesn't follow any rules and is willing to do any and everything to embarrass, humiliate another person for the sake of power. So that is what you're dealing with. It's not that everybody agrees with him. Some of those people are like, I don't want that Donald Trump smoke. Donald, he'll do anything. And that's what we're, that's why people are like, okay, we'll look into bombing Hurricane Henry.
Some of them are probably thinking, yeah, big dummy. Anyway, I say nuke the tornadoes. It either gets rid of the tornado or it just goes flying off in a random direction. Who knows? There's no way to tell. Anyway, okay, I take back my request. If you're on the right wing, I don't want any more of your ideas for what to do about Ukraine. You're all big dummies. Let's turn to something very different, starting with this.
We know that our FDA has in many ways failed us by not allowing for the use of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, both of which are used around the world to reduce COVID hospitalizations and deaths.
I pelted them with questions about COVID-19 and the vaccine and therapeutics, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, as well as other proactive treatments and practices were already helping COVID-19 patients all across the country.
On June 5th, Weinstein discussed the benefits of a drug called ivermectin, which can and is around the world used to treat and prevent the spread of the coronavirus.
Okay, so you've probably heard for, let's say, a year and a half now that first hydroxychloroquine and then ivermectin, they're the solution to all of your problems. Despite the fact that there was and is no evidence of that, it's been pushed by incredibly powerful people with a massive financial interest in cowing the right-wing population, getting them to oppose mask mandates, vaccine mandates, those sorts of things. It's just, all you need is ivermectin, all you need is hydroxychloroquine. Well, as we've gone through, there are many studies that have been conducted to try to figure out if there is any benefit to these things in helping to get rid of COVID, limit the severity of cases, keep people out of the hospital. And I will start by saying, I wish it worked. I would love if you could just go down to Tractor Supply and start gobbling up all sorts of goat and llama medicine and have that cure COVID, because COVID is terrible. And I want whatever possibly works to be found, but it doesn't work. And in this video, we're gonna talk about the biggest study yet done on ivermectin. Researchers took a look at it and found that it didn't reduce hospital admissions. It didn't help in fighting COVID. One of the leaders of the study says there was no indication that ivermectin is clinically useful. They looked at 1,358 adults who visited one of 12 different clinics in Brazil with COVID symptoms. They'd all been rapid tested for COVID and all had reasons to believe that they could experience severe cases of it. So the researchers prescribed half of them a course of ivermectin. The other received a placebo, and they tracked the patients to see whether they were hospitalized within 28 days. They looked at whether patients on ivermectin cleared the virus from their bodies faster than those who received a placebo, whether their symptoms resolved sooner, whether they were in the hospital or on ventilators for less time, and whether there was any difference in the death rates for the two groups. So if there was any potential benefit across many different metrics, they would have found it. And they looked at it in multiple different ways, looking at data from patients and then analyzing data from patients who received ivermectin or a placebo 24 hours before they were hospitalized. There was a third different review. They gave it the best chance possible. And in the end, they found that ivermectin didn't improve patient outcomes. It's not the solution to all of our problems. But the people who've made money on YouTube pushing it, they already made that money. There's no apologies coming from those people or from Fox News. They jumped into it not because they were excited for a potential treatment or they were convinced by the evidence that never existed. It was a convenient alternative to getting people to be part of a societal solution to our problems. Socially distancing, taking it seriously, wearing a mask, getting vaccinated, getting boosted, the things that have actually been proven to work, that puts us all together. And they're not interested in America being together, Ida. They're interested in being the captains of division, and they benefited mightily over the past 2 years.
Yeah, you know, I listen. I understand the lack of trust that people have in the government, that people have in big pharma, that people have in all of the corporations that benefit greatly from all of the horrible things that happen to us. That being said, you know what I did during COVID? I talked to the medical professionals that I knew in my own life, that the doctors that I knew, the nurses that I knew. I had nurses that were in the COVID places, you know, taking care of COVID patients when it was really bad, not just here in New York. And I had the conversations with those people who I know are not getting paychecks from companies. And I will tell you that, you know, a lot of people lost their lives during COVID because they just didn't have basic information to keep themselves alive, because they were being driven by these, you know, by Fox News and the people who were getting vaccinated and taking all of the precautions. And just because you don't see them on air wearing masks does not mean that they were not wearing masks when they were around other people. They were just telling you what they wanted you to hear, because they know that you belong to this emotional group of people that if they give you the talking points, they can get you exactly where they want you to be. And where they want you to be is spending money on stuff that they benefit from, voting for candidates that put money in their pockets. And they want to continue to keep you ignorant because they make a lot of money out of it. And I feel sorry for the people of the world that have had to be victims of all of these talking points during a time where everybody was just scared and struggling about how to get through and how to survive this thing. And we're still doing it because COVID hasn't gone anywhere. Just the politics around it has changed, but they haven't found a solution. It's just amazing to see, you know, to hear all of this. And I feel sorry for the people. I wasn't gonna take a medication because a podcaster told me to. I wasn't. That's just not what I'm gonna do, because especially somebody who has $99 million more dollars than me. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I don't think that person is intelligent or I think that person is stupid. I just am not going to play with my own life that way, because I know that we are not the same. And that's just sad how people have been driven into this place where they just don't know what to do because they're desperate.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They don't know who to trust. They've been told for decades not to trust basically anyone with any level of expertise. And in particular, during the pandemic, they were told not to trust the CDC. Don't trust any of these people. Just trust, you know, your favorite person on Fox News that night. Like, trust that person. Yeah. That person's got your back. That person doesn't give a damn about you. That person is incredibly wealthy. That person has been vaccinated for a year and a half. And the second a booster is available, they're going to take it. And it doesn't bother them at all that countless thousands of their devoted, loving fans have needlessly died because they listened to bad advice from those people.
Yeah, the only podcaster I'm listening to is a scientist that is proven, or someone who is actually in the medical field and knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You cannot let the celebrity worship in this country has led to a lot of people's death. The way you worship Donald Trump or Joe Rogan or, you know, or Don Lemon or anybody who is famous to you, Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, these people are leading you to your slaughter because they are profiting from your ignorance. And you should go to the people who know what they're talking about. I mean, you know, when it comes to your baby, you're going to go to the pediatrician, right? Because you love your baby. You're not going to let somebody on the street corner tell you what to do with your baby. Well, the internet now is the street corner.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to like a Dr. Oz. Get somebody with some medical, I'm kidding. Anyway, don't listen to, like, I don't find out how to deal with like cancer from Pod Save America. Like, seriously, don't do these things. Okay, everybody. You're gonna need to hold on to your butts. Oh, not only for the story that's about to come up, but early heads up, obviously, you know what's coming up after our show. Indisputable is coming up. You got Dr. Rashad Ritchie, you got Adrian Lawrence, Portia Barry Kilby will be on for a debate. So very exciting show coming up right after ours. Let me also just say early on, next Thursday, I'm gonna be doing a podcasting conference called Podcast Movement, doing a panel with Cenk and Judith, but also Rashad. I'm gonna be meeting him in person for the first time. Very excited for that. So also that means that I'm not gonna be doing the damage report on Thursday, but Francesca is going to be taking over and hosting. So everyone, please show up and support Francesca as she does a massive favor for the show. And I'm sure it's gonna be an awesome episode. Some might say the best episode all week, probably. So you can experience that by watching live. And with all that said, Ida, you ready for a little bit more news?
Of course.
Oh, okay, then in that case, let's talk about this. When the right sends their candidates, they're not sending their best. Or maybe they are. Maybe this is the best they've got. Take a look at Charles Doles. You can take a look at a shot of him right there. He's running for commissioner in a Georgia county, and admittedly, he does have organizing experience as a former member of the KKK. He once held the title of Glenn Clayliffe of the Invisible Empire, which is not a title in one of my fantasy novels. That's his actual title. He was in the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and he wants to be a Lumpkin County commissioner. He says he has leadership experience in what he calls white activism, which I guess is activism. He's also been to prison twice, which, you know, that does not mean that you should not be allowed to serve your country or a locality. Admittedly, though, he did go back in 1993 for beating a black man in Maryland. He served years in prison for that. Then in 2003, he was convicted of weapons violations in Georgia and spent 4 years in federal prison. All of this while being an active member of organized white supremacy. But don't worry, because in 2020, he renounced racism. And then he started an organization called Patriots USA, which sounds like the last bastion for racism, but whatever. he opposes critical race theory and the Black Lives Matter movement. So opposing racism, I don't know what that means in practice when you're as racist as all the others, Ida, but what do you think about this guy? You think he's got a chance?
So I think he is like a combination of a lot of things that we've talked about today, right? So first of all, America is not racist, but you can be a former KKK member and run for political office with a criminal record for being racist, nonetheless. Secondly, we talk about the education system in this country. There are people who are, every time they hear critical race theory, they get all revved up because they don't know what it is. They think that, you know, they're teaching slavery to kids that are in kindergarten and don't realize that this is, you know, part of a post-secondary curriculum. But, you know, it's just amazing to me that people are sitting here having these conversations. And the funny thing is that I don't know any black or brown people that want white people to suffer and struggle. They just don't want to suffer and struggle anymore. Sure, I'm sure there are some black and brown people who could get some delight in watching white people go through some of the things that they went through, but most people don't. And so when people say white lives matter, sure they do. But are you going to go after these politicians who are white, who are, you know, who have power in your jurisdiction that are making sure that teachers don't have the books that they need for the white lives, that don't care about white people having health care, that don't care about white people, you know, being treated fairly by the police when they're poor? So when you talk about white lives matter, you're not talking about white lives actually being a value. It's just white lives matter in opposition to black and brown people having mattering now. And so that's why it's such a bogus argument for me, because you really don't care about white lives. You just hate other people who are not white. Because if you really cared about the fact that white lives matter, then you would be on board to making sure that Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter, that all lives really mattered, and that people had their basic needs and what they require to have a good quality of life. But that's not what this is about. This is about you want to go and you want to motivate and you want to activate and you want to provoke the people who you know hate others because they have been brainwashed into believing that they don't have what they need in life because of those people, but it's your people, the people you want to join, the politicians and the people who have power. And it's so ridiculous and it's so sad because those that don't know better can't do better.
100%, couldn't agree more. Yeah, I find it ironic that like people, like so many Americans in 2020 were like, they were like, they'd put on their like white All Lives Matter hat, and then they'd take it off and put on their no mask, no vaccine hat. Like, exactly. Come on, man. Like, this ain't about life. It's about something, but it ain't about life. Anyway, okay, we have merely moments left in this hour, so let's jump into one more important story. Eric Greitens, at least as of you watching this, is running to be the replacement for retiring Missouri Senator Roy Blunt on the Republican side. He's in a contested primary. There's a lot of big candidates on the right. US Representative Vicky Hartzler, State Attorney General Eric Schmidt, US Representative Billy Long. But Eric Greitens has been one of the leading candidates. We'll see if that sticks around for much longer, though, because his ex-wife just alleged that he was physically abusive towards his children and her in court documents that were filed just yesterday. And so he already, by the way, had resigned from his former position as governor back in 2018 amid a scandal involving a sexual relationship with his former hairdresser and allegations that he'd taken an explicit photograph of her without her permission. He was also accused by prosecutors of misusing his charity's donor list for political purposes. So those are the scandals we already knew about. But what do we know now? Sheena Greitens, who now lives with her children in Austin, described for the first time publicly what she says she experienced during their marriage, saying, "In early June 2018, I became afraid for my safety and that of our children at our home, which was fairly isolated due to Eric's unstable and coercive behavior. This behavior included physical violence towards our children, such as cuffing our then 3-year-old son across the face at the dinner table in front of me and yanking him around by the hair." She said at one point she tried to flee with the children, quote, "When I told Eric about my plans, he threatened to come to the airport and have me arrested for kidnapping and child abuse, saying that because of his authority as a former governor who had supported law enforcement, the police would support him and not believe me, and I would lose our children." So Ida, this is disgusting stuff, not just the casual violence and threats, but like weaponizing his former position to get her to do what he wants. It's disgusting.
And the men who think like him are gonna vote for him. So everybody who opposes this egregious behavior better show up at the polls, because this is the problem that we're having. We will go on Twitter, we'll go on Facebook, and we'll talk about how all these things are horrible and we don't support them. But the crimes against women, like I said earlier, have gone up. And these are the things that people have to live with on a daily basis. This woman has a voice and a platform because her ex-husband is running for political office. But there are a lot of women who don't have a platform that you never get to hear about. And that's just, of course. And the people who support him, the reason he's up there is because there are a lot of people who don't think that beating a woman and beating children is a deal breaker. And yeah, we have to show up and outnumber those people.
100%. And it is a very open question. Would the like, let's say that every primary voter there knows about this. What percentage are gonna care? I mean, after all, bear in mind, he's not the only Republican candidate with a domestic abuse scandal going on. He's not the only Republican Senate candidate with a domestic abuse scandal going on right now. And it is not considered, like, it's not gonna knock all these candidates out. We'll see, but you can see the hypocrisy in action. I'll show it to you. Josh Hawley has joined some of these candidates. So I mentioned the other candidates in the primary. They're pushing for Greitens to drop out of the race. Of course, they're running against him. You can expect that they're gonna ask him to drop out, but Josh Hawley does as well. Josh Hawley is a disgusting person, but he tweeted, "If you hit a woman or a child, you belong in handcuffs, not the US Senate. It's time for Eric Greitens to leave this race." And I wanna give Josh Hawley some credit for that, and then immediately take it away, because he hasn't reversed this tweet. "Herschel Walker is the real deal. Love his faith, his optimism, and his passion for Georgia and the United States of America. He's gonna be a great senator, and I'm proud to endorse him despite the allegations of domestic abuse that he's facing too." So do they belong in handcuffs, or do they belong as your colleague in the Senate? Turns out it really depends on who else is running, because he doesn't have a problem with Herschel Walker. Anyway, unfortunately, we are right up against the end of our hour. So thank you, everyone. If you're on Members App, YouTube, or Twitch, we got more to talk about. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.